I'm going to be talking about hazardous drinking and violence, so the role that violence plays in the border region. I have no conflicts of interest. We were supported by two NIAAA grants and my contact information. So to just briefly summarize, we did this presentation together at our institution about a month ago, and some things have changed, but Tom said that Dr. Greenfield said that there's more hazardous drinking among U.S. residents in the Mexican origin region, and that alcohol use disorder levels were higher on the border in the U.S. and had that opposite effect of lower on the border in Mexico. Cheryl said the same thing. And then Cheryl talked about the prevalence of alcohol use disorders being more similar within sister city pairs rather than between border. And she asked whether stress plays a role in explaining some of those differences. So my presentation will deal with the stress of violence. There's widespread media reports of violence along the border, and no information really describes the impact of violence on drinking behaviors in that region. Much of the violence involves drugs, contraband trade, stolen vehicles, guns are often involved, and we wonder, how does this affect people's drinking? So just before I did the presentation last month, I thought, well, so what's happening on the border? You know, like, is it still going on? Not that we would miss that, but so this was just the top Google things I came up with. Mexican Army receives beheaded body of investigator in David Hartley killing. The governor says Mexico border areas paralyzed by violence. Next, Mexico's drug war violence and the role the U.S. plays. And fatal border shooting, U.S. agent fires across the border, allegedly killing Mexican citizen. Here we have a little border scene. So I and other people have looked at the relationship between violence and drinking. There's quite a strong exposure, and I've also looked at it amongst Mexican Americans. And the two aims of this talk are, one, just to look at whether the rates of violence are different by country and by proximity to border, and second, to look at whether differences in rates of violence might explain differences in hazardous drinking between border and between country. And first I'm going to present the whole data set in the way that Cheryl and Tom did, and then I will also divide up and look at just the U.S. and just Mexico because of the fact that the border differences are opposite. We're going to skip methods. You've got that from Cheryl. But let's focus on the measures. The measures that I'm using for this study is hazardous drinking, looking at five plus in a setting for men and four plus for women. I did not control for total volume and large amounts of drinking or anything the way Tom did, so there's some small differences between our findings. I had two main violence measures. First, I looked at interpersonal violence. We used the conflict tactics scale for that. And the way the conflict tactics scale usually reads is there's moderate violence and severe violence. We combined it all. So we're looking at physical violence, answering the question, since you turned age 18, did anyone ever throw something at you, push, grab, shove, or slap you? And did anyone ever kick or bite you, hit you with a fist, try to hit you with something, beat you up, threaten you with a knife or gun, or use a knife against you? So this is, you know, fairly severe combined with moderate. We also had a community violence variable, and this used 13 questions. About half of them measured direct violence victimization, and the other half is whether you heard gunshots, saw somebody arrested, you witnessed drug deals, or somebody beaten up, or stabbed, or shot, or somebody having a gun pulled on them. And the direct were happened directly to a person. And the community violence, so I tended to use the summary score, although often reported both, and I created a dichotomous variable for that. So here we have domestic violence as one of the reasons for immigration, and community violence, this is a woman who was assaulted when she was crossing the border. Cheryl, I think, went over in some detail the sample demographics, pretty similar between men and women, reasonably similar between the age groups. Over half of them are married, and over half have less than a high school education. So, getting to the results, the excitement of the talk. So first, I looked at whether rates of violence are different between country. And as you can see, interpersonal violence is much more common in the U.S. In fact, an odds ratio of 4.9 for ever adult physical violence and 3.8 for past year physical violence. But then it switches when we look at community violence. Community violence is more common in Mexico, particularly in direct violence and the overall summary score. So here I'm looking at whether violence helps explain higher rates of hazardous drinking in the U.S. And I created three models. Let me just explain these models because I do this several times. What I did is in model one, I'm just predicting hazardous drinking and looking at whether there's differences by country or later on by border. In model two, I take model one and I add in the violence variable. First, I add interpersonal violence, and then in another model, I add in community violence. And finally, in model three, I add both violence variables together. In each case, I look at log likelihood comparisons to see whether the addition of the violence variable into that model helps to improve the model or explain hazardous drinking in a better way. So here you can see you're more likely to engage in hazardous drinking in the U.S. If you add interpersonal violence, you're four times more likely to be a hazardous drinker, even controlling for the role of country. For community violence, you're 1.5 times more likely to be a hazardous drinker. In both cases, the models were significantly improved. And finally, the model where both violence variables are added in, still a significant improvement over the model two. So now we're going to look just at the U.S., and we'll be focusing on the border effects. So here, rates of violence are different by proximity to the border, and you can see that interpersonal physical violence was more common in the non-border region, as well as past year interpersonal physical violence, as well as all forms of community violence. It's a little bit different than this whole, I mean, we all have a media perspective that there's huge amounts of violence at the border. That's not what people reported. They reported more violence off-border, although rates of violence on the border are really quite high, too, so it's not like it's inaccurate. So again, we have these same three models, but here we're predicting hazardous drinking on the border. We did not find that there was more hazardous drinking on the border in the U.S., but when model two, which we build off of model one again, if you have past year violence, you're 3.7 times more likely to be a hazardous drinker, and with community violence, the odds ratio is 1.4. And both model twos were a significant improvement over just the model predicting hazardous drinking by border. And finally, model three, the inclusion of both variables, significantly improved that model, and both of those variables are still explaining it, even having them in there together, still explaining hazardous drinking. Moving on to Mexico. Here, again, similar to the U.S., there was more violence in the non-border region. There was also more community violence in the non-border region, indirect, and the summary score was more significant. So again, we use these same models. In this case, you were less likely to be a hazardous drinker if you lived on the border in Mexico. And again, we added in past year physical violence and the community violence. Both of them were highly significant predictors for hazardous drinking. And the addition of these variables, again, improved the model. And finally, model three, with all the violence variables, was even a better explainer of violence in the U.S. border, I mean, in the Mexico border region. So to summarize key findings, we haven't read the original question I asked. Are rates of violence different by country? The answer is yes, or by proximity to the border. So yeah, there's more interpersonal violence reported in the U.S. and more community violence reported in Mexico. And yes, both types of violence are more common in the non-border regions. Second, do differences in rates of violence help explain differences in hazardous drinking by country or border proximity? And yes, they do. The inclusion of either or both violence variables significantly improved models predicting hazardous drinking, whether by country or by border proximity. So just to discuss the findings a little bit, the one limitation which Cheryl mentioned as well is the exposure to violence may directly influence hazardous drinking, particularly in relation to stress where you drink to decrease stress, but many other confounding factors also associated with violence, such as local stresses or availability of alcohol, may also contribute to differences in country by drinking or by border. A strength of the study is that nobody has looked at the relationship between border proximity and violence. So it's sort of new data. And as Cheryl said, we need more research, particularly following the temporal sequence. So we want to understand whether or not it's exposure to violence that might be increasing drinking, or whether or not it's the general environment, and you know, which things are coming first. We don't really know that. Obviously, violence prevention efforts along the border are urgently needed to protect public health in this region, and efforts to address hazardous drinking should also take into account the short and the long-term effects of exposure to interpersonal violence. So I think we're done, and I could take questions.
Thank you.
Yeah, definitely plenty of time.
Question for Anne?
Okay.
I was just wondering, did you see her health education in Mexico? They meet, except through or after, right? So do you think that might be
what I did was, I forgot to say this, in the first model where I was just predicting hazardous drinking, I did control for education and income, age, and gender. You know, does it completely explain everything? No, because in poor communities there may be many, many other exposures that I didn't control for. So, but good question. All right. Yeah? Question? Right. Well, in this particular study, we are not focusing on violence prevention efforts. It's an obvious conclusion that we have to come to. Stopping violence on the border, huge issue, and a huge policy issue. I have my own personal opinions that don't necessarily reflect the views of NIAAA. You know, clearly the drug arms exchange between the two countries is tremendously deleterious for public health. And so, certainly at a policy level, some of that needs to be addressed. There's border issues, alcohol availability issues, but not my area of expertise, just opinions. Yes?
You had a question, it seemed a very long one, about the types of violence. Was that all one question, or was that?
It was 13 different questions.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a scale. Yeah. One scale that's been used in North Carolina, measuring community violence. And so it gets at, you know.
I was thinking about the individual one, the one about that.
That was all in one fell swoop, and normally it's moderate violence in one question and severe in another, and this comes from conflict tactics scale, which is a widely used scale for 20 years. We combined it all because we were told we had only a certain amount of questions to use, and I've worked with the data between those two, and you know, usually if you have severe violence, the findings are much more intense, but you usually find it for both, so I don't think combining it really caused any problems. That was a very long-winded question.